Off the Ball Breakfast.
Oh, Duffer. Duffer, Duffer, Duffer. What have you done, Duffer?
Oh, from the jaws of victory, defeat is snatched.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Off the Ball's Final Whistle. Your comprehensive roundup of the weekend's Gaelic games.
Hello and welcome to Off the Ball's Final Whistle, your one-stop shop for all your post-match reaction. After what was a huge weekend of Gaelic football action, we'll get reaction from all eight counties. Plus, we'll have a look ahead to the All-Ireland semi-finals in 2 weeks' time. Coming up, we'll hear from Kerry boss Jack O'Connor as he took a swipe at the media. We'll get reaction from Armagh's therein as All-Ireland champions ended. We'll hear from a victorious Mead side as they book their spot in a first All-Ireland semi-final since 2009. And we'll get more reaction to Saturday's games as Donegal and Tyrone book their places in the All-Ireland football semi-finals. But first, two events on Sunday afternoon, and Kerry reignited their summer with a stunning second-half surge to dethrone All-Ireland champions Armagh and secure a semi-final spot. Trailing by five early in the second half, Kerry unleashed a devastating 15-minute spell, scoring 14 points without reply and dismantling the Armagh kick-out. Sean O'Shea started with 12 points, while Paddy Clifford's introduction and David Clifford's 7-point haul were pivotal. The Orchard County were in the ascendancy thanks to Rory Grugan's first half goal, but failed to kick on in the second half. Rian O'Neill and Oisin Connolly kicked 6 points each, but it wasn't to be for Kieran McGeaney's side as they chased late goals to get back into the game. The Kingdom will return to Croke Park in 2 weeks' time, where they will renew the rivalry of the 2000s as they take on Tyrone. And after being seemingly written off before the game, Kerry manager Jack O'Connor hit back at his critics.
Look, when everybody down, even in our own county, was throwing in the towel with us, I said, lads, I said in the dressing room after the cabinet, I said, lads, I've been here before, where we've been written off, the fuck, completely written off. And a Kerry team written off in Croke Park are dangerous, because just takes a bit of the heat off. It allows them to play with a kind of a freedom and abandon, and that's what you saw there today. And maybe it was very tough for Armagh. And our mantra this morning was, we have to flip the script. The script has been written that Armagh have this game won. We have to flip that script. And every breaking ball you win, every turnover you win, every score you get is a chip off the block there, and it's a way of flipping that script. So,
and then O'Connor took aim at some ex-Kerry players and pundits.
I'm not giving out about from my own point of view, but I'm just saying. I just gave the example. I never hear Dublin ex-players slating the team. They're loyal to the group and they're loyal to the county, and they give their support. I mean, what's to be gained by slating people? You know, it's the easiest thing in the world. I'm in the business of building people up. You know, I'm not in the business of knocking people. I spent all my life coaching underage school kids, minors, under 21, seniors, at every level. I'm in the business of building people, not knocking people. And I'd ask people that are knocking that group and knocking people involved with the group, look in the mirror and say, what have you contributed? What have you contributed to Kerry football off the field? You know what I mean? It's very easy to knock people. Go away and coach a team. Go away and coach a development squad. Go away and coach a minor team. That's how you help Kerry football, not knocking people. So, that's it, lads. Good luck.
Armagh will now have to watch on as two of their Ulster rivals, Tyrone and Donegal, march on. Their boss, Kieran McGeaney, told Off the Ball's Jonathan Higgins that 15-minute period in the second half changed the game.
It was probably disappointing 15 minutes. That's what turned the tide. Like, I think they hit 13 points in the track, like, with 15. So, yeah, it was disappointing. Like, they played well. Like, in the end, like, they kept on going, in fairness. Like, and Shane had to pull off three, like, saves off the line. Like, but they never stopped fighting. So, you know, you have to give them credit. Like, it was just a 15-minute period, like, where Kerry were devastating and we just couldn't get our hands on the ball in the middle. So.
The only man ever to captain and manage Armagh to a senior All-Ireland says that his players can hold their heads up high.
I know, listen, they've won an All-Ireland. There's only one or two teams in like 140-odd years that they've won it, and they can hold their heads up high, surely. Like, they've been, like, you know, one of the most consistent teams over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And, you know, today, like, with Galway and ourselves, like, it's you know, you get a few years to sort of push to the top, and you have to make the best of it. Like, you know, for most counties outside of those two, like, it's just one of those things. I think because between Dublin and Kerry, they've 80% participation in all Ireland finals, and won 50% of them. So like, you're up against a huge thing, but like they've held their own. It's going to be disappointing for them today, but they've got an All-Ireland medal in their back pocket, and I'm sure those younger fellas there, like most of that squad, want to push on and try and get nothing.
McGeaney has been Armagh boss since 2015. He says that it's up to the players whether he will continue in his role.
I don't know that you had agreements with GAA. So, it's hard to know. Look, I sit down every year, and my thing is always about players. You know, it's all about the players. Like first and foremost, and what they want, and how much they want to push on. My appetite for football, like, has always been the same. I don't know, like, I love it, like, I enjoy it, despite the abuse. Like, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I don't know, maybe it's an addiction. You know, so it's I haven't even thought about that, Colin, to be honest. Like,
you know, sure, it's a relatively abuse-free zone this year.
Not really. Like, it's like whether it's the GAA themselves or the supporters. Like, the GAA manager is the person who gets blamed for everything. Like, you know, I always find it amusing sitting from the outside looking in, looking at people doing their jobs and how they're graded. Like, and like nobody ever looks in the mirror too much, because like I know as a manager, I've made a shitload of mistakes and, you know, and things like that there, but it's amazing how everybody else tends to have a mirror that only seems to go out the ways rather than looking back at themselves.
Turning attention now to Sunday's curtain raiser, and Jordan Morris started at 1-6 as Meath stunned Galway to reach their first All-Ireland football semi-final since 2009. Already boasting wins over Dublin and Kerry this season, Meath led 1-12 to 9 points before Galway struck back with goals from Killian McDade and Liam Silk to go 3 points up. But Morris hit 1-2 in the final minutes, including a brilliant 62nd minute goal to swing it back in favour of the Royal County. Matthew Costello added 4 points, while Conor Gray netted a scrappy goal in the second half and helped steady the side late on. Meath boss Robbie Brennan told Jonathan Higgins that his side has learned from their Leinster final defeat to Louth, and he's happy with how his side coped with the pressure.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's that, you know, that character piece, I suppose, and like, we didn't panic. I was in here yesterday and saw a few examples maybe of panicky shots and stuff, and we didn't do that even when that squeeze came on, and we just kept waiting and trying to build and build and build. And again, I keep referencing that the Leinster final is a massive learning. Like all of those games, you have to take learnings from them, or else what's the point of doing them? And I think we put a lot of those learnings from that Leinster final into place. And like, you know, we're the last team in Leinster now, and as I said outside, we'll keep the flag flying.
Matthew Costlow put his hand up today as a possible All-Star. He said that being in an All-Ireland semi-final is where he feels that this Meath team belong.
Exactly, but it's where we feel we belong. You know, Meath football has always traditionally been up there. For a few years, unfortunately, it wasn't. But we're there now. I think it's the first time since 2009. Listen, we just take it game by game, and we're enjoying ourselves. And, you know, we're delighted to be here, but we also know that we got to keep going. You know, these opportunities don't come around too often.
Meath will face Donegal in Croker in 2 weeks' time, whilst Galway's summer is over for another year. Galway Bannister Pádraig Joyce told reporters that his side just didn't perform on the day.
Yeah, look, obviously disappointed to lose the game. We just didn't get to the energy levels of the game. Didn't really perform the way we should be performing, you know. You can have hard to put your finger on it, what's going on. Very poor first half in general, in fairness, and probably Meath left us in the game as well. But then when we came back, we went 3 up. We probably thought that our experience might hold on to us and maybe get us over the line, but we failed. We gave away a short kick out, got dispossessed quite easily, and another goal. But look, I think we conceded 2-6, 2-7 in turnovers. Another score has come from somewhere, but again, I just thought it was a very harsh free again that wasn't given to Danny Flaherty going forward that resulted in the Meath goal. But some days you get them, some days you don't, so today we didn't.
And Joyce was non-committal on what his future looks like.
Sure. No, we haven't. Look, we just got knocked out of the championship, so we're not going to make any rash decisions. We'll sit and chat. There's a lot of lads in there have decisions to make about next year as well, and as we have as a management as well. So look, we'll do that in due course. County board have always been very supportive of me, the players. So look, we'll sit down and chat to them, and we'll get things properly organised. So whatever will be, will be. So there won't be no statements or no rushes coming out the next day or two. I'm not telling you that.
Attention now to Saturday's games, and Tyrone and Dublin renewed a rivalry that arguably hit its peak in the mid-noughties. However, it was Dublin that exited the All-Ireland Championship at the quarter-final stage for the second year running, losing to Tyrone 23 points to 16. Tyrone struggled in the first half, but did go in with a slender one-point lead advantage, largely thanks to two-point efforts from Peter Hart, Peter Tigg and Kieran McGeary. Derek Canavan impressed throughout, rounding off his day with 3 points, while Dublin relied on 6 points from full forward Cormac Costello. Malachy O'Rourke's bench impressed, with Rory Canavan and Owen McElhome kicking 3 points between them to wrap up the game. The defeat marked the end of Desi Farrell's six-year reign as Dublin manager. The Dubs are hampered by Con O'Callaghan, only fit to come off the bench for the last 20 minutes, kicking a single point. Tyrone will return in a fortnight's time to take on Kerry in an All-Ireland semi-final, while the Dubs summer is over. Tyrone boss Malachy O'Rourke told Jonathan Higgins that he was delighted by the impact of his bench.
Yeah, that's right. And look, you know, all the boys are working really hard, so you're more than happy to throw them in at any stage. And just as fellas were getting tired, Owen with his pace, and that was very good, and then Rory with his movement, and the two of them are very accurate, you know, and they're confident in front of the post. So it was a great time to introduce them. But overall, delighted, you know, we've used a lot of different players, and with injury and different things, a number of fellas came in, but all the panellists working really hard, and we're more than happy to throw different fellas in when we see fit, you know, depending on who's coming off and things like that. So, no, delighted for them all.
A couple of showers of rain ahead of the game made conditions testing at Croke Park. Tyrone stalwart Peter Hart told Tommy Rooney that his team have things to work on for the next day.
You're right, because it's nearly like when you come to Croke Park, you get new footballs, a new surface, and then the rain, and in fairness, it's very greasy. You see any pop tackles, the ball usually comes out, and like in the first half we had a couple of great tackles,
yeah,
hit the deck, but Dublin retained it, like, so it was trying to maybe work on that for the next day.
Yeah,
like, we can complete turnovers, because definitely in first half stats, I know Dublin definitely turned us over more, and they were able to probably be more economic with their attacks.
And can I just ask you finally about the Tyrone mentality coming down the road? You still have so many players that started and would have featured in the 2021 All-Ireland final win. On the bench, you've got three Gossens who've won under 20 footballer of the year in the last couple of years, and Rory Canavan and Jay O'Hare and Owen McElhome. So you must feel like coming down the road that you can do whatever you want to do.
I think most teams left, like, it just feels very open. And that's why it's felt this last year or two, and maybe new rules and everything, it does feel open. But look, thankfully we have a couple of great young lads, like, and you're going to be starting to see just how good they are. Like, we probably see it in training a lot, club football a lot, and you're just hoping that can continue, because we've seen over the years you need big impact in the last few games at Croke Park to win them, and hopefully them boys can keep that going next year or two.
Dublin will be on the hunt for a new manager as Desi Farrell announced his decision to step away. Farrell, an All-Ireland winner as a player in 1995, succeeded Jim Gavin in the Dublin hot seat in January 2020. And in the COVID-affected season that followed, he guided the county to a sixth successive Sam Maguire win. A second All-Ireland success followed in 2023 after Kerry were defeated in the final. Farrell told reporters that he informed the county board of his intention to step away at the start of the season.
Yeah, no, I have. I would have informed the county board at the start of the season that this would, regardless of what happened, this would be the last hurrah. And I've informed the players in the dressing room there as well that I'd be stepping away. And I've had a great innings. I think between being a player for Dublin underage and senior player, and then as an underage coach and senior coach, manager, whatever you want to call it, I've the guts of 40 years, you know, so it's a long time, and it's been a privilege every year, every step of the journey. I've met some great people. I've had a ringside seat for some of the best players that ever performed in the arena out there. Some of the new lads we brought in this year, still getting to know them, if you like, but great crop of fellas as well, and it augurs very well for Dublin football. And then there's an older gang that I would have taken from under 13 development squad, and seen them grow from young boys to young men and to older men, if you like, and that's a privilege not many get to do, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for the dedication and commitment of all the players and all the coaches and all the backroom teams that I worked with along the way. It's a special sort of involvement, being involved with Dublin football, and we all know how dear and special the GAA is to all of us, and I'm just so grateful that I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to do what I do, and but now is the time to move away.
Farrell added that he has huge admiration for his players and staff.
Make it about me, because it's not. It's always and always has been about the players, and ultimately, they're the men who step into the arena. They're the men in the formative years of their lives, dedicate so much to playing for their county, and I have huge admiration and respect for them. And I think the overriding feeling for me now is just I will miss the people. It's not necessarily the position, because some of the relationships are really important to me. And some of those lads have been like kids to me, you know, watching them grow up, and they're a special group, and I'm very, very grateful for them and for all they've given, and they'll drive on, and Dublin will be a good place next season and the season after and all of that.
In the day's earlier game on Saturday, Donegal produced a strong second half display to defeat Monaghan 126-120. Trailing by 7 at half-time, Jimmy Guinness men outscored Monaghan 115-5 after the break, including 11 unanswered points. Michael Langan starred with 1-3, while Shane O'Donnell was named man of the match. Despite first-half kick-out struggles and missed chances, Donegal's intensity proved decisive as their bench was key. Tyrconnell boss Jim McGuinness said that despite a shaky first half, he didn't change anything at half-time.
Listen, it was one of those moments, to be fair. You know, you're 7 points down. You're playing against a team very, very high on confidence. They're bringing a bit of a unique game plan to the championship in many respects. You know, they're going all in twos, and they also have incision players that, you know, if you're stepping to the twos, and you have to step to the twos in order to keep that number down. They still have people like you know, Brannigan and O'Hanlon and these kind of boys that can punch a hole through you. So they were getting things really right in the first half. We were trying our best. First 15 minutes, I'd say we were really happy with the way we were defending them in many respects. We were doing well on the scoreboard, and we were getting turnovers. But their game plan kicked in, and the numbers were there before the game. We knew what they were going to bring. You know, that's what they have been working on. That's what they've been sort of banking on in many respects. And I would imagine from a Monaghan point of view, with the two-pointer that they kicked just before the break, they'd be like, right, you know, this is it. You know, we have the magic formula. So we didn't change anything, to be honest, because we had the work done. We had the plan going into the game done. We just doubled down on that, and we didn't change any personnel either. We trusted the fellas to get it right themselves, and then it's over to the players. You know, it's a moment then where you've got to say, listen, we're in a hole here, and only the players can get themselves out of that hole. You know, so very, very happy that they responded the way they did, and very happy with the bench as well. That was very important as well. Everybody that came on made a massive contribution.
McGuinness also clarified a statement made by the Donegal GAA County Board last week ahead of the weekend's game.
I want to say one thing. There was a statement put out during the week. We, the management or the players, had nothing to do with the statement. We didn't know the statement was going to be put out. So there was an awful lot of noise and an awful lot of articles and an awful lot of stories about that statement, and that we weren't happy, and that we were, you know, disappointed and annoyed. The management and the players knew once we got beat against Tyrone that we were going to be facing into three games in 3 weeks, and that was the way it is. The statement was released by the county board, and I think on the back of people in Donegal and clubs in Donegal not being happy, but as a management team, we were okay with the game, because from my own point of view and a personal point of view, you should never ever make an excuse for a game before the game is played. And I have never done that in my life, and so I want to make sure that distance is there, because it's disrespectful to Monaghan. If we got beat today, and that would fall, if the first half followed through into the second half, and we got beat, people would be saying, "Well, sure, he was saying that during the week." We had nothing to do with it, nor did we know that it was going to be put out into the ether until I read it myself on the phone. So that's very important from a management point of view and from the players' point of view. We were happy to be here today because we got beat against Tyrone, and it was always going to be that way. It was always going to be three games and three weekends, and suck it up and let's get on with it. And now we'll look forward to a quarter final.
Meanwhile, Monaghan manager Gabriel Bannigan rued his side's second half display.
Yeah, it's definitely a game of two halves. We were brilliant in the first half. I think the first half performance of Monaghan, to me, gives you a glimpse of what this team is capable of. But we need to be able to put two halves like that together if we're going to take out a team like Donegal. We were delighted where we were at half time. We spoke about it at half time, about it was very important that we kept doing the things that got us in that position. And the second half, for some reason, it just started to go against us. The things that we were doing brilliantly in the first half, we just weren't able to replicate them in the second half. There was handling errors, there was poor options taken, we were getting shots blocked down, kicked more wides. We didn't seem to have the same hunger around the breaking ball. All of those things just went against us. I think we've spoken all year about the new rules. The momentum is huge in the game now, and when you're searching for that momentum and you're trying to, in the second half we were trying to stem that tide and break the momentum that was with Donegal and try to swing some momentum back with us, and we never managed to do that in the second half.
And Bannigan cursed his side's luck throughout the game.
Yeah, and Jack, just anything that could go wrong in that second half did go wrong. So, like that one coming back off the post, Woodsy got it in his hands. If we had somebody coming off Woodsy's shoulder there, would have been a goal opportunity. Stephen O'Hanlon's first point, Stephen was exceptional. But his first point in the second half, like, it was one-on-one on the keeper. We did create, we took one goal opportunity, we probably created four or five more. So on another day, we probably needed to bag at least another one of those goals to be where we wanted to be coming down the stretch in the last 10 or 15 minutes. But it was just one, Ryan McInnespy's injury, that disrupted us a bit as well. It was a hamstring injury, but Ryan was playing exceptionally well. That definitely disrupted the balance of the team a bit. But look, it's our job on the line to try and make decisions that, in the course of the game. Mostly this year, we've been lucky enough to get them right. Decisions we made against Down the last day managed to swing the momentum back in our favour. I think we were 5 points down against Down. We just couldn't manage to do that today. Donegal, very hard, we just couldn't get that tide stemmed.
So we have our two semi-finals for 2 weeks' time. Kerry will play Tyrone, while Donegal will take on Meath. Exact fixture details will be released by the GAA on Monday afternoon. That is about all we have time for on this week's Final Whistle. Remember, you can listen to Off the Ball Breakfast each weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app or on YouTube. You can also find the Football Pod, where Tommy Rooney, Paddy Andrews and James O'Donoghue will dissect the weekend's games in detail wherever you get your pods or on YouTube. You can listen to the Hurling Pod with Will O'Callaghan, Paul Murphy and James Skettle as they build up to next week's All-Ireland Hurling Semi-Finals on all podcast platforms and on YouTube. Owen Sheehan will be back in the hot seat on Off the Ball from 7 each weeknight. To not miss a single second of our GA coverage, why not become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Thanks to all our reporters this week. Thanks to you for listening. I'm David Wilson, and I'll be back next weekend with reaction to the weekend's hurling.